This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday for another hour of old-time radio variety. Try to play a little bit of everything on this show, and we're going to start off with a thrilling little episode from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. It's titled Speak of the Devil, first aired January 25th, 1974. We'll finish off with a quickie from The Strange Dr. Weird. It's titled The Devil's Cavern, first aired April 3rd, 1945.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sounds of suspense, to the fear you can hear. Make yourself comfortable, for there are ill winds blowing outside. This is a tale of a titanic struggle between two colossal forces, one natural, the other supernatural. The prize, a girl's soul. And in the clash, as fire and water mix, there is the very devil to pay. Come with me now to the Solway Firth in Scotland to meet the first of the forces.
It's the tide. It comes in faster than an express train.
Is it always like this?
Twice a day.
Doesn't it ever break?
It will, when it gets just about abreast of us. Isn't it exciting?
That's one word for it.
That's why you don't dare go out on the flats on foot. If the tide was due, you'd never make it ashore.
Our mystery drama, Speak of the Devil, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jada Rowland and Nick Pryor. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll return shortly with Act One. They say he who dreams on the Solway will wake in another world. Not only is the tide a terror, but so are the quicksands. And far worse than either, the bogies, warlocks, and unnamed things that haunt Scottish history. The Scots word for tonight's story is eldritch. It means uncanny, eerie, frightful, otherworldly. Listen.
If you'll put out the light, Mrs. Petrie.
Hold my hand, Mike.
You'd better hold both mine.
Why?
You can't trust me in the dark.
I'm sorry, Colonel Bruce.
Now, Mike, Mary Ellen, I know you two young ones think a seance is a mite daft, but it's not the way the Colonel, Mrs. Petrie, and I feel.
Well, then maybe we'd better not stay.
Oh, no. We need five of the circle. It's a blessing you're here. But please, be serious. All of us have made contact with your dearest ones who have passed on through my control.
Control?
That's a messenger who brings us messages. Anatu, he once was a slave in Babylon.
Babylon?
She's scary.
Hang in, darling.
Now, may we all join hands, please.
Come in.
Make them a blank, a quiet place. I'm reaching now, reaching away and above and out and over from here to the bonny, bonny other place that lies beyond our ken. We're biding here, Anatu, asking you back into our circle. Will you not come back to us again?
Most precious lady, from across centuries, the time is not right, not right now. I beg you, kiss my eyes beating fire tonight.
Stop it, in heaven's name. Someone get the light.
Yes.
It burned.
Ellen, that damn light. Mary Ellen, are you all right?
Yes, sir. What's all that smoke?
Oh, that's just the incense we burn.
I'm the one to blame for meddling in the business of the Lord. We'll not ever have a seance in this house again. I'm afraid that I loosed some devil out of hell this night.
Ouch!
Oh, don't wriggle so much.
You stuck a pin in me, Aunt Jeannie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ellen. Oh, but it'll take more than a pinprick to burst your happiness.
Thank you, Aunt Jeannie, for letting me come home to be married. And for such a heavenly day.
Oh, well, I'll accept the thanks for bidding you back to where you grew up.
When Dad died so suddenly, I was lost. I didn't know what to do.
Well, you did just the right thing. You came home. You're two modern young people who are a lot smarter than we old people are. And as proud I am to be part of the gamble you're making in your lives.
I am all goosebumps. I'll get back into my jeans and sweater. I've got a skin, just like I had last Wednesday night.
Don't mention it. I should never have had you children in that circle.
It was so scary. What happened?
I don't know.
It was some kind of trick, wasn't it?
I don't play tricks. Well, it was Maggie, your mother, who had the second sight, you know. That wee wisp, so delicate and so vibrant. When she died, it tore the heart out of me. But Will went off to America and left me to bring you up. Well, it put my heart back. And then when you were 15 and almost grown up and he wanted you to join him, I was left alone again. How could I stop you going?
I didn't want to go.
I know, but you were his flesh and blood. I found a way out of my loneliness. Nights when the roar of the tide used to come boiling up the firth outside the windows there, I thought I could hear Maggie calling to me. Or when the wind was skirling out of the northeast, I'd hear her voice on the wings of the blow. And I began to think maybe I had the call, too. That's when I started the seances.
Until the other night?
Yes. I'll never hold a seance again. So the subject is closed. I realize I'm just a foolish old woman.
I've never been so scared.
You promised me to put it out of your mind. What's past is past. Your future is all that matters.
It seems so right to be back. As if something were calling me.
Oh, you're cold. I'll stir up the fire.
No, don't bother. I just miss my American central heating. I think I'll go outside in the sun for a minute or two.
Oh, go take a good brisk turn down the road while I finish this hem.
That's a good idea.
Ah, but don't go down the Firth Road. Take the high road.
Why?
Well, I saw your Michael off this morning for the Solway. You don't want to run into the bridegroom on the wedding day. It's bad luck.
Kiss me, Ellen.
Aunt Jeannie thinks it's bad luck for the bride and groom to see each other on the wedding day.
You can't fault that. Back in Nebraska, my mother used to feel the same way. But that's just old-fashioned.
And Aunt Jeannie's something else?
Darling, your Aunt Jeannie sure is something else.
Good or bad?
About 90% good. I just don't dig the spirit kick.
We won't have any more of that. It was awful, though, wasn't it?
That's all kind of self-hypnosis.
But that terrible, raspy voice, whatever it was saying.
Ellen, there wasn't any voice.
You didn't hear it?
I heard something that sounded like your aunt choking herself to death.
But the first voice...
Oh, that's just the old girl practicing a little ventriloquism.
No. No, that awful, burning smell.
Well, I will admit I like the Hare Krishna incense better. Come on, Ellen, let's forget all that mumbo-jumbo. Hey, dig that crazy character out there. Fishing in those little pools on the flats?
What's crazy about that?
On horseback?
But everyone does because of the tide.
The tide?
I forgot. If we hadn't been up in Glasgow wedding shopping, I'd have shown it to you. Look out there to the west. If that gilly is up on his horse, it must be... Oh, yes, here it comes.
And there he goes. You'd think the devil was on his tail. What's his hurry?
Look, the tidal bore. It's coming.
You mean that big wave down at the mouth of the estuary?
Yes, it's the tide. It comes in faster than an express train. Listen.
Holy Maloney. Is it always like this?
Twice a day. Worse in the autumn and in the spring.
Doesn't it ever break?
It will when it gets just about abreast of us. Isn't it exciting?
That's one word for it.
That's why you don't dare go out on the flats on foot. If the tide was due, you'd never make it ashore. Oh, Michael, it's so thrilling. It's so good to be alive. I love you.
What'd you say? What, sir?
Husband.
Read that loud and clear. On my way.
What's taking you so long?
Just brushing my teeth.
Please come to bed.
Why didn't you say that in the first place?
Will you come under the covers? I'm freezing.
I'll put some more coal in the fire.
I don't want coal. I want my brand new husband.
You got him.
Oh.
What is it, darling?
Nothing. It's just... just that funny smell.
It's the coal smoke. Remember, you don't want coal to keep you warm. Just me.
Oh, my darling. Yes. 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 My husband. My darling. My husband. You. No. No. Please. No. No. Don't touch me. Go away. No. Oh, no. Michael. Your breath. Oh, no. 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 I cast you out. Michael. Is there anything wrong?
No, Aunt Jeannie. Why?
Well, I was dozing and I thought I heard... What's that I smell?
Is it your candle? I guess I let the fire go out.
Aye. It's a damp chimney, but just the same. Is Mary Ellen all right?
She's sound asleep. See for yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, but...
What is it? What's troubling you?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I was the one that dreamed it. Oh, be gentle with her, Michael. She's so sensitive and delicate. Like her mother that died all those years ago.
We'll keep her from any harm. Good night, Aunt Jeannie.
Good night, Michael, dear. If we can. If it's in human hands to be able to... Snuff my candle out if you will, old Ricky. But hear me this. You'll not have Mary Ellen. You'll not have her like my sister Maggie.
Old Ricky could be translated Old Smoky. It's a Scots name for the devil. Jeannie should know better than to mention him, for the old proverb says, speak of the devil... and his horns appear. Let's see when I return shortly with Act Two. Dreams birds are made to die with the opening of day, and superstition fades and falters in the sunlight. So, by the following morning, we might hope our bride and bridegroom wake and rise on the right side of the bed. Let's find out as Michael comes downstairs.
Oh, good morning, Michael. I'm in the kitchen. Come on out.
Morning, Aunt Jeannie.
Well, how is the bridegroom today?
Well, the bridegroom's first rate. It's the bride who's not.
Oh, what's wrong with the wee lass?
Oh, I don't know. I think now you were right last night.
Huh? Right. About what?
Well, she had some kind of a bad dream. But if she did, she won't tell me about it. Well, what do you think it might have been?
Oh, I don't know. She's a sensitive wee thing. And she's back in the part of the house where her mother died. That was Maggie's room you're in. Maybe I should never have put you there. Anyway, I'll get her tea and go on up and have a wee chat.
I couldn't tell Mike. I couldn't. Not after what we... My wedding night. How could I dream anything so... so vile and hideous? A great, gross presence bearing down on me. Breath so sick. The lips slavering. And that awful fur. Fur all over. Oh! And the fire burning me. That scorching smell. Oh, Aunt Jeannie. What a nightmare.
Oh, wished now. And that's all it was.
But it seems so real.
Well, it wasn't. Because when I came by, you were sleeping sound. Oh, drink your tea now. Oh, it's a good thing you married that nice American boy with his head screwed good and tight.
Mike.
He'll blow all the cobwebs out of your head. And he's going to have a good chance to.
What do you mean?
I mean, you two are going to have a nice honeymoon all alone for a big long month.
Where are you going?
Oh, I've got an old girl school chum who lives just outside Blackpool at St. Anne-on-Sea. For years, she's wanted me to visit.
I'm not going to drive you out of your house.
Oh, you're going to do more than that, Mary Ellen. You and your handsome, bonny husband are going to move downstairs to my room, away from this drafty old flue. And while I'm gone, I'm going to get it fixed so the fire will burn clean.
But...
And I'll not take no for an answer.
I thought Scottish weather was supposed to be terrible. Rainy, damp, no sunshine.
This has been a very particular May.
Our honeymoon.
Yes. Sorry it's over?
Desolate.
Still, with Aunt Jeannie back, maybe you'll get a little more work done on the book.
Darling, I have been busy in research. It is a love story. Speaking of that, do you think...
Look down the road.
I can't. Your front's in the way.
That's Dr. Ferguson bringing Aunt Jeannie back. Our month is up.
Speaking of your front, do you know how you blossomed in the last 4 weeks?
All right, playboy, let's concentrate on other physical problems. How do we get out of a hammock without breaking a limb? Welcome home, Aunt Jeannie.
Oh, Mary Ellen, precious. You've turned into a real Scots lassie. You've got the bloom on your cheeks.
It's happiness. And those warm spring winds from the west. Hello, Dr. Ferguson.
Hey, well, Mrs. Stilson. As a physician, I can only concur with your aunt's diagnosis. You're a picture of health. And how are you, Mr. Stilson?
Never better, sir.
Oh, I can believe that. Well, I really have to be back on rounds.
Thank you for meeting Aunt Jeannie at the station.
It should have been me.
Without a car? Oh, you'd have had hard shrift getting me aboard all this since the carriage broke its wheel.
You know, Jeannie, you should put that old horse out to pasture. Now she's nothing left to pull.
Oh, I couldn't do that. We're too used to each other, poor old soul. All right, Dr. Ferguson, away you go.
Right, you are. See you soon. I'll take your bags up to the house, Aunt Jeannie.
Oh, give me a hug first. That's right. Now, off you go, and me and Mary Ellen will have a week's chat on the way up to the house. Goodbye, Percy. Oh, I should never have said that. He hates the name.
I'm not sure I blame him.
Oh, well, That's not what's on my mind. How are you, dearie?
You can see for yourself. Oh, don't say anything to Mike yet, but I just have to tell someone. Aunt Jeannie, I know I'm pregnant.
Well, Mrs. Stilson.
Tell me, am I pregnant?
Oh, the test will prove it, but I'll bet on it. And let me say that you're the loveliest expectant mother I've ever had under my care. Well, a little morning sickness is to be expected in these early months. Still...
There's nothing wrong, Doctor.
Ah, a young, healthy woman, what could be wrong? Still, we must take precautions. I'm writing out some medication for you that I want you to take each day.
But what does Dr. Ferguson say is causing it?
It's nothing, dear. Just some little hitch.
Honey, we both had thorough physical checkups before we came to Scotland. The Rh factor is ruled out. Why should you...
Lots of women have morning sickness.
It isn't only in the morning, Helen.
I'll talk to Dr. Ferguson. Maybe we should change the medication.
Mary Ellen, dear. I've talked to Dr. Ferguson, and he's completely puzzled. I'm not sure that I am, though. Is there anything you want to tell me?
What can I tell you, Aunt Jeannie, that I haven't told him?
Are you in pain?
I've talked to the doctor about that. It isn't pain. I don't know.
Ellen, are you dreaming again?
Of what?
Of the presence.
I don't want to talk anymore. I just want to sleep. Only I don't want to. I don't want to sleep at all. It's just that I'm so tired. So tired.
You have to help me, Aunt Jeannie.
How, Michael?
Dr. Ferguson says that physically Melon should be all right. That the baby seems to be thriving. It's her mental state that... Do you know she won't go to sleep at nights? She forces herself to stay awake? What is it she's afraid of dreaming about, Aunt Jeannie? It is that, isn't it?
I can't tell you just what she's dreaming. I'm too far out of touch since I went away. But I do know one thing. The only way to stop it is to get her away from here.
As easy as that?
Oh, not so easy, maybe. She's bound and determined on having you finish your book first.
Ah, the devil take the book. Melon comes first.
You sure you don't mind, Michael?
I'm very sure. We're going home to have your baby 3,000 miles away.
Oh, darling. I don't know what to say. It can't be too soon for me.
Well, it's sooner than you think. We're booked out of Glasgow tomorrow afternoon, home for America.
I don't know. I should be feeling all sorts of things, I know, but the only one I can really feel is relief. Oh, such blessed relief. Oh, for the first time, as long as I can remember, days, weeks... I just want to go to sleep.
Good night, darling. Rest. Sweet dreams.
You'll keep me safe. You won't let me come to any harm.
For better or worse, in sickness and in health, until death do us. Sleep, poor baby. Rest.
I love you, Michael. I love you. Keep our baby safe. Don't let...
Ellen! Ellen! What is this?
Oh, I don't know. It's pain. Like a knife. I think... Maybe I'm going to lose the baby.
You're going to be all right, Ellen. Don't worry. I'm going to call him now. He'll be all right.
I'm fine. Just get him.
I'll send Aunt Jeannie up to you while I phone. Aunt Jeannie. Aunt Jeannie!
What is it? What is it, Michael?
Helen, maybe a miscarriage. What's Dr. Ferguson's number?
Oh, you'll know. Get him by the phone. He's out of order again.
Hello. Hello.
Laddie, it's no use. It won't be fixed before morning.
I'll go to the neighbors.
It's a party line. If one's out, they're all out.
Oh, God! How far to the doctor's?
A good 3 miles.
Who's got a car?
Only Colonel Petrie. And he's away up to Edinburgh for his regimental reunion.
All right, then I'll go on foot. Aunt Jeannie, go up and help her. I'll make it as fast as I can.
By the way, Michael, can you ride a horse?
Yes.
Good. Then take old Bessie. There's a bridle and saddle by her in the barn. She'll get you there faster.
Take care of her, Aunt Jeannie. Don't let anything happen to her.
Right along the Firth Road till you come to town. He's the third house in on the right. And take care of yourself.
Taking Michael so long.
Oh, just lie still. Don't bring back the pain.
It's funny. I thought it was going to tear me in two. And then within 10 minutes after Michael left the house, it just stopped suddenly. Is it? What's that?
Oh, it's a car. That'll be the doctor. I'll let him in. Bide quiet now. Oh, come on in, doctor. What took you so long?
Oh, I tried to phone you the moment I found out, and I got here as soon as...
Yes.
Oh, then you know.
Of course I know. Who do you think's been taking care of Mary Ellen? Now you get on up to her. Where's Michael?
Oh, Jeannie, Michael is dead.
Dead? How?
Oh, here, let me close the door. Oh. Was Michael riding to try to fetch me?
Of course. She thought she was losing the baby. What happened to him?
Bess must have thrown him.
Oh, she never threw a body in her life. She was
almost
as jealous.
Something must have frightened her, driven her frantic. Jeannie, this is a terrible thing to tell you, but I examined the boy, and his body was covered with hoof marks. He was literally trampled to death.
So Ellen has kept her baby and lost her husband. Some evil force shadows this innocent and tragic girl, and still may threaten her. Those hoof marks, were they from the horse? Or in some dark, unfathomable way, were they supernatural? A demon's footprints. Perhaps we'll know when I return with Act Three. For 2 weeks, Ellen, after her first wild emotion when she heard of Mike's death, has retreated into herself, her face white and drawn, her eyes black and empty like two holes burned in a blanket. Now, as the doctor comes down after examining her...
How is she today, doctor?
No change. Listless, unreachable, hopeless.
And her health? The baby.
The baby... Yeah, there's no doubts of its vitality.
Oh, I have a terrible time getting her to eat anything.
Well, you must be more successful than you think, Jeannie. There's nothing the matter with Mary Ellen physically. No, it's her mental health that concerns me.
The poor bairn has been through a terrible shock, Percy.
Yeah, I know.
You don't think there is any chance of her losing her mind?
Jeannie, Mary Ellen is beyond me and my knowledge. Somehow we've got to call in a psychiatrist.
Oh, Percy... What is it you're afraid of for Mary Ellen?
Well, you don't like my medical term.
I want to know.
Very well, then. Schizophrenia. More specifically, dementia praecox. Paranoid type, I guess.
Oh, well, what does all that mean?
Oh, withdrawal from life, delusions of all kinds, persecution, unseen enemies, that sort of thing.
Oh, the second sight. Just like all of us.
Now that's enough of that nonsense. You're all sensitive, delicately balanced women, but all things being equal, perfectly normal. Well, I have other calls to make.
Oh, well, I'll walk you to the door. Any instructions for Mary Ellen?
Oh, just that she keep on with the sedation I've provided. And Jeannie, try to persuade her to let me call in another doctor.
I'll see what's best to do.
Be very careful.
I'll do what's right.
Hey, I think maybe tonight I'll take a run up to Glasgow. and have a consultation with a friend of mine, Dr. Engel. Good man. Maybe I could persuade him to run back down here with me just to observe her.
Oh, bide a wee till I see what I can do first, eh?
Yeah, all right. Another day or so can't do any harm. I hope.
Who is it?
It's Aunt Jeannie, Mary Ellen. May I come in?
If you want.
I thought you might like a wee cup of tea.
No, thanks.
What are you staring at? Out the window.
The Solway. The tide just came in. Roaring and boiling. So fast. So fast. And now the water's all smooth. And with the sun on it, everything's wiped clean. All the mud and the slime buried and hidden. It's so peaceful and calm. Water is so soft and friendly. I wonder if it heals as it washes over.
What are you thinking about, child?
I'm thinking about the first time I showed the tide to Michael. The day we were married. The day you said it was bad luck for us to see each other before the wedding.
Oh, I was just joking about superstitions. Nobody believes those old wives' tales.
Nobody believes so many things that are outside the ordinary. So many things they say don't exist but might be. Did you see Michael's body after?
What?
Did you see the marks of the hoof?
Oh, don't talk about that, lass.
I know they said the horse trampled him. I asked Dr. Ferguson about the hooves, and he wouldn't tell me. You'd tell me, wouldn't you, Jeannie?
Oh, tell you what?
Were they like horseshoes? Or were they cleft in two? Were they cloven hooves?
In the name of God, what are you saying?
I'm not speaking of God. I'm speaking of the devil. Or some demon that haunts my dream.
Now, this is no time for foolish fancies. You mustn't let dreams spill over into your real life.
Or is it the other way around?
Oh, Mary Ellen, I don't know what it is you have on your mind, but...
You can get me to Michael. Let me talk to Michael. He'll know. He can tell me what to do. Take me to Michael and Jeannie. Take me to him.
Oh, can I, Mary Ellen? You know
he... I know he's dead. I know he's passed beyond. But you can reach him. You can hold a seance.
Oh. Oh, no. I swore I never would again after
what... After what happened that night when something got loose? Some evil presence? Something from... Auntie, you let him loose. The least you can do is help me undo the harm.
I can't. I won't. I'll get the doctor.
You dare to bring him here and I'll kill myself. I swear.
Child, you're out of here.
No. Not yet. But if you don't have that seance... And let me find out from Michael what to do. I will be. I'll lose my mind. You've got to promise. Promise.
Oh, calm down, child. Calm down.
Tonight. Now.
No, that isn't possible. There have to be more than two to form a circle.
Then call in the colonel and that other woman. Anyone. Just promise me. Promise. I need him. I need Michael. Promise, Aunt Jeannie. Promise.
May God forgive me. I promise. May we all join hands, please. Clear your minds. Make them a blank, a quiet place, open and hushed. I'm reaching now. Reaching away and above and out and over from here to the bonny, bonny other place that lies beyond our ken. Can you hear me, Anatu? Can you come to me into our circle? Anatu, we're reaching for you. I can't make contact.
Ask for Michael.
I have no way to him.
Then let me.
Oh, try it. Everyone, concentrate. Be still. Be still.
Michael. Michael, I need you. Come to me. Oh, Michael, I love you.
I love you. We'll be together again.
Michael.
It's not our child you're carrying. Get rid of him.
Michael!
It's no use, child. There's no contact tonight. We can break the ring. Will someone turn on the light, please? Oh, I'm that sorry, Mary Ellen.
It's all right, Aunt Jeannie. You gave me what I wanted. I found out what I needed to know.
Oh, I'm afraid that's quite impossible, my dear.
You're not as backward as that, Dr. Ferguson. Abortion is perfectly legal, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not concerned with the legality, Mary Ellen. As it happens, it is, but...
Then help me.
I can't, dear. It's too late.
What do you mean, too late?
When you came to me a few weeks ago and we determined your pregnancy, you must have known that I would know it was already well advanced.
But it wasn't. Michael and I were only married a month before that. You should know that.
Well, of course I know that, my dear, but facts are facts. You're carrying a child that's past midterm. An abortion now is just too dangerous.
Past midterm? 4.5 months?
My guess is at least 5.
That fast? Oh, God, no. It mightn't wait. It could be born any minute. There's no one to help me but myself.
Well, I'll drive you home, child. And I'll give you something to get a little rest. She's sound asleep now, Jeannie. Let's go downstairs and talk.
Poor wee angel. So thin and pale and haunted.
I come away. Let her rest.
You gave, you'll never take away. Never. It's never going to be. Help me. God, help me. The tide. The tide. Yes, that's the way. Full moon. The time was right.
And for our own protection, I see no other way, Jeannie.
But to lock her away...
Well, we're not locking her up. It's a sanitarium. It's a really lovely place.
I don't think I could do it to her. I'll care for her.
Jeannie, dear, if Ellen had preeclampsia or a threatened miscarriage or any one of a number of other diseases of pregnancy, she would have to be hospitalized. Now, think of it that way.
All right, Percy, if you think it's best.
It's the only way.
Oh, no, Doctor. Mine is the only way.
That sounded like the front door.
Ellen, go on. I'll check upstairs. You look outside.
Oh, but I thought you said she... Oh, dear Lord. I got the premonition. Mary Ellen? Mary Ellen? Are you out there?
Jeannie, it's her. She's gone.
Go.
I gave her enough sedation to knock her out, but she's gone.
Oh, but where?
I had to out on the first. Come on, Jeannie. We've got to catch her before the time.
Look! Listen!
Oh,
Michael!
There wasn't a chance. We couldn't have saved him.
My poor, wee, motherless lamb. It did not take her long to follow her poor husband. But the child...
It hadn't been born, and she didn't want it. It wasn't Michael's, you know.
Are you sure of that?
Oh, yes. It was 5 months old, at least, from the size.
A monster.
No, I didn't say that. Still, I was thinking of X-rays. There was something strange about that embryo. I can't quite explain.
It was nothing you could have understood, Doctor. So, at the last, it was all the Lord's will. And maybe for the best. At least, Michael and my Mary Ellen are in God's pocket. At last.
Who dreams on the Solway will wake in another world. Our story has come full circle. For us, it is the end. Let's hope that Jeannie is right. And for Ellen and Michael, it is only a beginning. One final thought. If you believe some dreadful incubus possessed poor Ellen, driving her and her husband to their deaths, there is another explanation. Insanity did run in her family. So either way, even if there was the devil to pay, it still was all in the mind. Our cast included Jada Rowland, Nick Pryor, Bryna Rayburn, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Well, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps the cemetery outside this house has upset you. But there are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, men with murder in their hearts, as in my story tonight, a story I call The Devil's Caverns. My story, The Devil's Caverns, begins in the desolate and remote mountain country of New Mexico. It is early morning in a large hunting lodge. John Drake, the noted naturalist and explorer, is speaking to his two nephews, Victor and Paul.
You two have just wasted your time coming to New Mexico to see me. I told you both a dozen times I won't increase your allowances, and that's final.
But, Uncle John, you can hardly expect Victor and myself to live on $5,000.
Now, be quiet, Paul. Uncle John has always been most generous to us. If he feels that he can't give us any more, we should be satisfied.
Thank you, Victor. Dear me, it's 9 o'clock, and I'm not even at work. I must leave now.
Oh, you're going to those caverns you discovered in the mountains?
Yes. Would you two care to come with me?
No, thank you, Uncle John. Exploring caverns is hardly in our line.
But you can't go back to New York without seeing the Devil's Caverns.
The Devil's Caverns?
Yes, I call them that because they're so huge and dark. I imagine to anyone but a scientist like myself, the caverns would be rather terrifying.
I see. Well, thanks anyway, Uncle John. Perhaps some other time.
Very well. I'll see you both this evening when I return.
The old fool. Worth millions and he wastes his time exploring caverns.
Perhaps we made a mistake in not going to the caverns with him.
What do you mean?
Last night, Uncle John spoke about finding holes in the caverns.
Holes hundreds of feet deep. What are you getting at?
Suppose Uncle John were to accidentally fall into one of those holes. You and I would inherit his millions.
Say, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I have. Yes, Paul, tomorrow you and I will accompany Uncle John into the caverns. Who knows? Perhaps he will meet with an accident.
It's just a little further to the entrance to the caverns.
But, Uncle John, why did you make us wear leather gloves and high shoes?
Well, they're for protection against the rats in Devil's Caverns.
You mean the rats in there are dangerous?
Oh, not really. It's just that now and then one of them will take a nip at you.
Oh, ooh.
And then there's the bats. Most remarkable species. Ah, here we are.
Well, you just lead the way.
It was just by sheer luck that I stumbled on the entrance.
What? It certainly is dark in here.
Now, just a second. I'll turn on my flashlight. There.
Well, I can understand now why you call these the Devil's Caverns. Something terrifying about this place.
Yes, and there are others even more terrifying. Come along, I'll show them to you.
Just a minute, Uncle John.
What for, Paul? Paul, why in the world are you lighting a candle?
I'm going to leave this candle here by the entrance. I figure we'll stop every 50 yards and leave a burning candle so we won't get lost.
Yes. The candles will serve as beacons to guide us back to the entrance here.
But that isn't necessary. Why, I know every inch of all the caverns by now.
Well, nevertheless, Uncle John, we'd feel safer this way.
Very well. It'll make you feel better. Now, come along. There's so much I want to show you. If you'll come over here, boys, I'll show you one of those holes I was telling you about.
We'll be there just as soon as we light another candle, Uncle John.
How many candles does this make, Paul?
This is the 10th candle. I figure we've come, more than a quarter of a mile.
Everything's working out perfectly. Now, look back. You can see four of the candles burning, and the other six are around that turn.
Yeah. Well, I'm along now. We mustn't keep Uncle John waiting.
Ah, there you are. Now I'm going to show you another of the wonder of these caverns. This hole I'm shining my flashlight on.
Oh, something just brushed against my foot.
That was just one of the cavern rats. They discovered we're here. Listen.
Sounds like there are thousands of them.
Yes, there are. Nasty little fellows, too. And our leather gloves and high shoes will protect us if they grow too bold.
I hope so.
Now, yesterday, I measured the depth of this hole, and much to my amazement, I discovered that it's 920 feet deep.
920 feet? If anyone fell in, it'd be quite a fall. Shine your flashlight down the hole, Uncle John, so we can see what it looks like.
Very well. Of course, you won't be able to see the bottom, but at least you'll get an idea of how... Why are you taking my arms, boys?
We just want to make sure you don't fall in. Yes, Uncle John. After all, you're awfully close to the edge.
Nonsense, boys. I won't fall in. Now let go of my arm so I can... Stop pushing me. Let's come over you. Don't! I'll fall if you...
Poor Uncle John. But then accidents will happen.
Doctor, after listening to the first part of your story, don't you think some of our listeners may be a little shaky?
Well, I can't understand why. But if they are, I suppose we ought to suggest something to bolster their confidence.
Doctor, that's a good idea. And then there's nothing that gives a fellow more confidence in himself than correct attire. For that reason, may I suggest that your wardrobe include at least one of the many smart, correctly styled Adam hats. Made of lustrous all-fur felt in a wide variety of soft, harmonizing shades, Adam hats are the epitome of fine quality and good taste. You'll appreciate, too, the distinctive hat bands and other important details of your Adam hat. Top off that well-dressed look, gentlemen, with an Adam hat. Now, back to mystery and Dr. Weird.
And now I'll continue my story, The Devil's Caverns. After John Drake's death scream had faded away, only the shrill squeaking of the rats and the heavy breathing of the two men remained. For a moment, the two stood in darkness. Then Victor spoke.
All right, Paul. Turn on Uncle John's flashlight and let's get out of here.
I haven't got his flashlight. He fell in before I could take it away from him.
What? You stupid fool. I might have known you'd bungle it. Now, what have we got? Wait a minute. I have my cigarette lighter, if it only works. There. Doesn't give much light, but it'll do.
Well, come on. Let's get out of here. Place gives me the creeps.
Yes. Now, there's the first candle a few yards away. Come along.
Victor, look. That first candle just went out.
Yes. That draft probably blew it out.
Candle was right over here on this rock. Oh, Victor, it's gone.
Gone? Nonsense. You probably left it on another rock. Now, let's not waste time. There's the second candle 50 yards ahead.
Oh, all right. But I tell you, that was a rock I left it on. And now it's gone.
Oh, look. The second candle. It seems to be moving.
It's falling over. It's gone out. But that's as though someone blew it.
Don't be a fool.
Look. The third candle's beginning to flicker.
It can't go out. It mustn't go out. Hurry.
Oh, Victor. It has gone out. Now there aren't any candles to guide us out of here.
Get hold of yourself. I've got my eye fixed on the spot where the third candle went out. Once there, we merely have to turn the bend to see the other candles.
Yes, but suppose there are two.
They won't be.
It's Uncle John. He's going ahead of us, blowing out the candle, so we can't escape.
How could it be, Uncle John? He's dead.
It's his ghost that's doing it. He's getting revenge on us for what we did.
Be quiet, do you hear? Listen. The rats. That's it. They're the ones who are knocking the candles over. They're carrying them off. They're hungry. They're attracted by the wax in the candles.
Why are you stopping?
Can't you see? The path divides into three here. Do you remember which is the way out?
I don't remember these three paths at all.
We must have come by the middle path. Yes, I'm sure that's the one. Come along. We're bound to find the entrance. After all the hours we've searched, we're bound to.
Why do you keep on saying that over and over? We're lost, and you know we are. We're never going to get out of here, never. Uncle John has seen to that.
Stop talking about Uncle John. He's dead.
Dead? No, he's all around us. I can feel him. He blew out all the candles. Now he's waiting for us to die.
Shut up.
Even the rats know that we're going to die. Listen.
My cigarette lighter. It's gone out.
It's Uncle John. He blew it out.
It won't work. The fuel's all gone.
Paul, where are you?
I'm over here.
You have some matches, haven't you?
Yes.
Those matches are a matter of life and death. We don't dare walk in the darkness, not with all those holes around. Paul, keep talking so I can find you.
How can you find me when I'm lost? You'll never find me.
Oh. Paul, what is it?
Uncle John. He just brushed past me. He's going to take me.
Don't be a fool. It was a bat that brushed past you.
Come on. Now it's Uncle John. He's going to get me. No. Now stay away from me. Stay away.
Paul, come back. Come back, you hear? It's dangerous to run like that.
Paul. He's fallen into a hole. He's gone. Now I'm all alone without any light at all.
So, Uncle John, you think you've gotten the better of me?
Well, you haven't. You haven't, you hear? I've got to get hold of myself. I must. If I go to pieces, I'll never get out of here. I've got to dig this thing out. There must be some way that I can... Ow! My left leg. Oh, one of those rats bit me. But they're swarming all around me. Ow! I've got to fight them off. If I don't, they'll... Ow! Oh! Ow! Get away! Get away!
Too bad about poor Victor, wasn't it? Such a horrible way to die. 2 weeks later, when a searching party entered the cavern, they found a clean white skeleton lying a few hundred yards from the entrance. Unfortunately, they were never able to find a trace of John Drake and Paul. It was as if they had vanished from the face of the earth. Now, I once knew a dead man who... Oh, you have to go now? Perhaps you'll drop in on me again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weird.
I hope you enjoyed our show today. If not, tune in tomorrow. We'll have more Old Time Radio at RelicRadio.com. You can find links there to all the podcasts, past episodes of this show and the other shows. Our forum, our Shoutcast stream, everything Relic Radio can be found at RelicRadio.com. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.